On the line right now, we are speaking with the Minister of Environment and Parks for the Province of Alberta, Minister Jason Nixon. First off, Minister, always great to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be back.
Awesome. Now, we see a couple of big announcements yesterday that you had out in the northeast part where I used to live, up in the Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo area. First off, tell us a little bit about that. Seems like very exciting news.
Well, there's two historical announcements this week when it comes to protection of the beautiful landscape in the northeastern portion of our province. The first was the Moose Lake Access Plan has been completed. This is a project that several previous governments had tried to complete, went on for about 20 years, and we were pretty excited to be able to get this across the line on Monday. It was done with hard work between the Indigenous communities that call that beautiful place home, as well as the industry that works in those areas. We were able to come up with a historical plan in partnership with industry and with First Nation communities that will make sure we can protect a special landscape that is right up there amongst the oil sands for future generations, while still creating a path for resource development up inside northeastern Alberta. So we're pretty excited about that. And then yesterday, the Premier and I announced the expansion of a large area of boreal forest protection up inside northeastern Alberta, creating what will be about 67,000 square kilometers of protection of boreal forest, two times the size of Vancouver Island, again, done in partnership with Indigenous communities and industry. We're pretty excited about that, and it shows that our vision of working with First Nation communities and industry together is the path forward to be able to protect the environment while making sure we can still develop our resources.
And of course, because you know, Minister, I love the animals as much as you do. The wildlife in there, of course, in that region, this will also keep them safe as well, won't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, 98% of that area is caribou habitat, which is a threatened species
right.
in our province. So big deal for the caribou up inside northeastern Alberta.
Yeah, definitely. And also as well, Minister, at the end of last year, you had announced that 170 partnerships were found for provincial parks. Are there still a few out there in need of a partner?
Well, we're always open to partnerships in our provincial park system. Since since about 100 years ago when we opened up our provincial park system, partners have been a valued portion of how we run the park system. Friends of Fish Creek Park or Friends of the Eastern Slopes and these type of organizations help us to be able to protect these landscapes while making sure Albertans can recreate on them. So we're always open to those partnerships, but we have to make sure we got the right partnership for the right park, making sure that it's going to continue to be open for Albertans and be able to provide access and services to Albertans to these special places.
Awesome. And let's just say, what happens if a third party cannot be found in that case?
All parks will remain open and protected by law. And so, sometimes the government self-runs provincial parks. Sometimes we use contractors and sometimes we use partners. But all of those facilities remain open and accessible to Albertans and protected underneath the Provincial Parks Act.
So I guess that kind of defeats it. So I'm still unable to buy a park. I mean, there's paper in front of me. No point in sending it in?
There's no point in sending it in. Parks are not for sale, and they're never going to be for sale in this province. So it would be kind of cool, I'm sure, for you if you could buy a park. But no,
it would. No, and I'm glad to hear that, but I'm not going to lie. It would be kind of cool if I could, own a little park, decide which wildlife comes through. But they'll decide where they go, and fair enough. So also, Minister, this is something that that hasn't been talked about much a lot in the mainstream, and that is the ministry launching the Alberta Crownland Vision. And this was on November 26th that it started. What is the goal of that, and can people still give input?
Well, the goal of that is to work towards modernizing public land legislation and our Provincial Parks Act, something that we committed to within our platform. Both of those acts are quite old and have not been looked at in a long time, and it's important
right.
that we work together with all the stakeholders within that use our public lands and our provincial park system to make sure that we're adapting to some of the multi-use things that are taking place across our province right now. And we need lots of input on that. Of course, the first round of consultation is finished, but my office,
right.
Phones are open, our emails are open, and this is going to be an ongoing process over the next year with the Department of Environment and Albertans to make sure that we come up with the best package to be able to modernize both those pieces of legislation.
When do you hope to have a final piece of legislation for the table on that? Is there a timeline on that?
We're shooting for this upcoming fall to be able to put both those bills into the House. And so, but we've got a lot of work to do here over the next several months.
Yep, I hear you on that. All right, as well, and we see some changes were made for freshwater fisheries. And I spent lots of summers in Saskatchewan, plenty of summers here in Alberta, and some great fishing in the prairies for sure. How will these changes help out?
Well, I'm pretty excited about lots of these changes that we've done. First of all, we've been upgrading all of our hatcheries across the province to make sure that we can continue to keep our fish stocks up and to make sure that Albertans can continue to enjoy angling opportunities. We're doing great things with tiger trout, which is a new species that's coming out of hatcheries that Albertans love to go catch. And if you haven't had an opportunity to do that, I really encourage you to do it.
Deal.
So we're doing that. At the same time, we've been adding slot sizes, increasing harvest rates in certain walleye populations, which has been asked for a long time by Albertans. So we see a lot of cool stuff happening with fisheries inside our province, and I think it's working. I mean, we saw this year already a 30% increase in license sales over last year.
Wow.
Which shows that we're getting Albertans out there enjoying angling opportunities.
Yeah, no doubt. And also as well, we see that on the government site, on the ministry site, that sport fishing, I didn't realize that it's a $600 million per year industry, specifically in this province. And how did the pandemic affect that? I mean, on one end, yeah, you can't have large gatherings, but at the end of the day, I would think that, you know, during August in the middle of a pandemic, what's better than sitting on a boat with a beverage and a fishing rod?
Yeah, so we saw a lot of residents of Alberta increasing their opportunities to be able to go out and fish, which was good. It increased revenue into Alberta Conservation Association through fishing licenses to help protect habitat. Of course, we've seen a decrease in people coming from elsewhere, particularly Americans who like to come up and go to our fishing lodges to experience the great fisheries that we have. So there's been an impact on outfitters, but an increase through resident fisheries, and it's pretty special what takes place, though, when we see that increase. Because anglers help us conserve lakes, waterways, and the species. And so we can't, as a department, be able to accomplish our goals when it comes to protection of fish species without our partnerships with people who fish.
Yeah, for sure, and all the experienced outfitters who are out there showing you where the good spots are. Also, Minister, I living in a rural Ontario before coming out here, we knew that invasive species could be a problem. Out there, a zebra mussel, for example, is a problem. Could you give us an example here of what would happen if an invasive species was accidentally released into a body of water? And I ask because there's obviously warnings everywhere to, like, make sure your boat's clean, make sure you clean up, no putting fish from one body of water into another body of water. Just tell us a little bit about the ecological consequences that may happen if invasive species end up in the wrong body of water.
Well, the two big consequences. First is the impact that it would have on both the fish species that are within our environment naturally. Some of these invasive species can knock out their entire populations, as well as have impact on vegetation and water quality within our lakes. And then a second major consequence, particularly from zebra mussel, is the impact that it could have on our irrigation systems. When the zebra mussel ends up inside our irrigation systems, it could literally plug it all up. It could cost billions of dollars in lost GDP and impact our farming communities and our agriculture community significantly, which is why we have things like the Alberta Environment Parks Canine Division, who are frontline workers. Our dogs there, they're great if you ever get a chance to meet them, that are helping us sniff out zebra mussels. You'll see them at our check stops all across the province, helping make sure we do not transfer these invasive species into our waterways. So I thank them for all their hard work. And it's really a little known portion of the work that Alberta Environment Parks does.
Yeah, no, and that's why I wanted to kind of highlight that, because as you had mentioned, all it takes, and I heard a story in Ontario about somebody had a couple of zebra mussels on the bottom of their boat, didn't clean it off, went into another boat, and, well, I think you know what may have went down eventually. Yeah, so that obviously something. I'm glad that you were able to mention that. Be careful now. I can't have you on, Minister, and not talk about wildlife. And we know that last week you were talking about the cougar, the puma, the mountain lion, so many different names for it. And one of the things that bothered me about that is that they like to eat mountain sheep at times. And can we allow that to happen? I just ask, because me personally, the ram's a majestic animal. Like, isn't there a way to just tell the cougars, like, stick to moose and deer and leave the poor mountain sheep alone?
Well,
I wish.
Mountain sheep are my favorite animal in the province of Alberta, so I'm with you on that. Having said that, we've got to emphasize our predators too, and the big cat is a pretty major part of our ecosystem. You'll be happy to know, though, that their primary diet actually is white-tailed deer and mule deer, though
okay.
They do eat bighorn sheep as well, but their big diet is on that end. And, you know, we'll have to make sure we still continue to show the predators some love too on Wildlife Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And now here's the thing, the ram population in Alberta, is it a healthy one?
Yeah, the ram population is a healthy population in the province of Alberta, and it's important that we continue to make sure that it stays that way, because that's our provincial mammal and a pretty special species.
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to just say this too, because I mean, of all the animals that we saw last Wildlife Wednesday, that the cougar. The thing is that yeah, you did mention that they're not going to go after rams as much, but at the end of the day, I mean, a moose and a whitetail or a mule deer, I can't see it fighting back if a cougar's hungry. But the mountain sheep, like, I mean, with its horns or anything like that, would it stand a chance against the cougar?
Well, look, those cougars are pretty efficient predators.
Yeah.
I got to say, out of those three, I think I'd be mostly scared of the moose just from the sheer weight. But
fair.
I don't know. I don't know how those big cats think. I can tell you they know what they're doing, though, and they manage to keep themselves fed.
Yeah, they do, and the real reason why, but they are they're a special part of our ecosystem as well. And I have to ask you this, is Jason Nixon. Jason, what happened against the Packers and Brady? I mean, is it at least an easier pill to swallow because you guys lost to the eventual champs?
Well, so you're breaking my heart as a big
Packers
fan. That was a tough loss to take, but you do got to give it to Tom Brady. I mean, pretty impressive as an NFL football fan. What he's accomplished with his career is impressive. But no, he broke our heart a few weeks ago, Packer fans, and we're still it still stinks.
Yeah, I hear you that. And this is actually something that was sent out, I guess, yesterday by the NDP, and I think it was like I didn't see the article myself, but apparently Jason Nixon removed from COVID for undermining public health orders. So what exactly, just to clear out the air for us, what exactly did you say that got the NDP so fired up?
Well, only the NDP would try to imply that in some way I was calling for us to stop following COVID restrictions and orders in an article that is titled "Local MLA Calls on Constituents to Follow COVID Restrictions." But that's what you get with the official opposition occasionally, which is unfortunate. Let me be clear, that article was about me commending my constituents who have had to sacrifice by shutting businesses to help us be able to defeat COVID and keep our hospitals open. And was an article about me thanking them for that and encouraging them to continue through that for the next few weeks as we work through to get through this pandemic together as a province.
Awesome. Well, thank you for explaining that for us, Minister, and thank you for joining us today on the Hot Seat. Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me on. See you again soon.
Absolutely. This is Environment and Parks Minister for the province of Alberta, Jason Nixon, and this is another edition of the Hot Seat.